living in New York, listening to the radio, listening to WBAI, although it doesn't say WBAI in the bio. But you hear a radio show on which a woman is interviewing a guy playing the guitar, singing songs, right?
Yes.
And this is a very famous radio show. It was Bob Dylan.
Right.
It was like 1962 or something like that. It was
It
was before he recorded the first album.
Right.
Or he was just getting ready to go in and record the first album. I'm trying to remember the woman's name.
Cynthia Gooding.
Okay.
Folk Singer's Choice.
All right. Yeah. There's a bootleg CD of that. And
really?
And I forgot to bring it in tonight.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
Yeah. It's actually on CD. I can make a copy for you if you want.
Please.
Yeah, because it's cool and it's really good quality. It's been booted for years and years and years. But you're a kid and you're listening to that, and tell the story. What happens?
Well, actually, I had a little studio next to my parents' apartment in the Bronx, and I was in the studio and I was painting. We had this big old Telefunken radio, and I'm listening, and I would always listen to this show, Folk Singer's Choice. And there was a woman, Cynthia Gooding. She'd always interviewed Gene Ritchie or different people that were in town, or Pete Seeger. And she has this guy on, and he's going, "Hey, Will, you know, I just blew in the town. I used to work in the circus." And she goes, "Well, where are you from?" "Well, my parents, you know, I'm an orphan," you know, and he's going on. And
you hear him inventing himself on the air. It's the funniest thing.
And I mean, I haven't heard it since then.
I'm sorry I forgot to bring it in.
And so she's talking, and he's playing these like Bo Diddley type songs and talking about the Everly Brothers, and "Yeah, rock and roll, I love that." He says, "Yeah, but you know, I'm going," and he's going on, and so I couldn't quite realize, did this guy have a record out? I really liked it, so I called up, and they were playing a track, and she said, "Well, I'm not sure what the exact recording plans are, but hold on." And he goes, "Hello." I go, "Hi, Bob." He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "Hey, how you doing?" I go, "Well, hey, you know, it's really, really love your stuff. It's so great." And I said, "Well, you know, I'm a painter." And I must have been like 14 or something. "Oh, you're a painter. I love painting. So love to see your paintings." So he gives me the address. He says, "Yeah, bring your paintings down." So later that afternoon, I gather all my paintings. I get on the subway from the Bronx, and I go down to the Village where he lived on 8th Street. And it was right near where the old Needicks used to be.
Wow, yeah.
And Dorothy Day with the Catholic Worker used to sell it out there on the corner, and I used to go by, and I walked up to the door where, you know, the address he gave me, and there was this gentleman by the name of Patrick Skye, who was a folk singer.
Sure.
And he was sitting there, and this other guy, David Blue,
David Blue, yeah.
And he said, I came by, and I had all these paintings. He says, "You waiting for Bob?" I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Yeah, we've been waiting too." And this other folk singer, Mark Spolstra, came by and said, "Oh yeah, Bob's over at the Kettle of Fish," which was on McDougal Street. Right. It was a great drinking place.
Right above the dugout.
Yes. And right down, two doors down from Izzy Young's Folklore Center.
Folklore Center.
Yeah, where a lot of great musicians used to play. So got in there and we waited. And so, "Yeah, Bob left. Come back. And finally he comes back, and I go, "I have all these paintings." And he goes, "Who are you?" I go, "Well, I'm the painter." "What painter?" Well, you know,
There were
pitchers of beer, you know, so he's pouring me pitchers of beer, and they ended up going to this party by John Harold, who was with a group called the Green Briar Boys. And, you know, they're just pouring beers, and we're all getting drunk, and, well, every time I go down the Village, I'd always go by Bob's place to see if he was home, and I just became this guy that, you know, always hounded him. I wasn't a musician, I was a painter, but I really loved his stuff, and I would, you know, sneak into Gertie's, and you could drink in New York at 18, and so you would see people like Paul Simon and Garfunkel. They were called Tom and Jerry at the time, and Dave Van Ronk and Buffy St. Marie and Jose Feliciano, and everybody would play on, I think it was on a Monday night. It was right near where the Bottom Line is, like across the street, and it cost a dollar. You got a dollar, and with the dollar you got a card.
It was like open night mic.
Right,
open,
and then with that card you got a free drink.
Right.
So I would drink 151 rum and get totally plastered, and then Bob at that time was holding court. You know, he'd talk to people and always had this, you know, burgundy wine. And so he'd be sitting there talking to people, and as he would be turning around talking, I'd take his glass of wine and just drink it. So I used to go down every Monday and just get totally drunk on all his wines, because he would just like have, you know, the bartenders keep pouring wine.
Wow.
But he was quite incredible. And I remember one time, just briefly, I went to see him. I knew someone said he was going to be at the Gaslight, and I was hanging out. And Dave
the Gaslight, that's what I meant. Kettle of Fish is right above the Gaslight, not the dugout. The dugout was around the corner.
Right.
On Leaker. Yeah, and we're on McDougal.
Right.
Yeah, okay.
We're on McDougal.
Yeah, okay. Gaslight, and, Kettle of Fish.
Right. And so he's in there, and Dave Van Ronk's there. People, it's about 2 in the morning or so, and there's about 8 people in, and Bob comes in, and, hey, Bob, how you doing? I said, yeah, I just, you know, wrote this song. I said, I'll play it. And, you know, Dave Van Ronk says, play it. And he goes, oh, okay. And he pulls out these sheets of paper. They're all on, like, this loose leaf paper. And he's trying to tune the guitar, and Dave Van Ronk tunes the guitar and, you know, takes it, and he starts, you know, playing, you know, oh, how have you been? And he starts going through Hard Rain Gonna Fall. And no one had heard the song.
Wow, you were there that night.
And
I mean, that's like a legendary night. That story has been told by others. You were there that night. Wow.
And it was, I mean, I was no further from him than I was you. And I remember listening to the song and just the imagery. And as a painter, the imagery was so, you know, visual. It just blew my mind.
Well, I have a segue that I want to do with Dylan, with a later Dylan song out of one of your songs. There's, we talked before about how personal this album is of yours, this album called Fool's Parade. There's a song called Anything at All that, to me, ranks right up there with Dylan's Blood on the Tracks. With, you know, this is like, this song
You've been
like,
drinking.
No.
Alcohol got him.
This song is your Blood on the Tracks.
Well,
you know?
My Blood on the Tracks.
Yeah, do you understand what I'm saying?
Well, I appreciate the plaudits and the kudos.
Okay.
But
I'll show you what I'm talking about. Here we go.
Double scotch and whiskey down. I'm closing every joint in town. I'm hoping I can last for one more round. 'Cause just today we chanced to meet. You weren't too steady on your feet. And I got a taste of something bittersweet. There was so much I was trying to remember. There was so much you were trying to forget. I gave you all I had to hold inside you. I thought you knew I'd never let you fall. I wonder if I gave you anything at all.
They sat together in the park as the evening sky grew dark. She looked at him and he felt a spark tingle to his bones. 'Twas then he felt alone and wished that he'd gone straight and watched out for a simple twist of fate. They walked along by the old canal, a little confused, I remember well, and stopped into a strange hotel with a neon burning bright. He felt the heat of the night hit him like a freight train moving with a simple twist of fate.
People tell me it's a sin to know and feel too much within. I still believe she was my twin, but I lost the ring. She was born in spring, but I was born too late.
Choose just one day to last my whole life through, it would surely be that Sunday, the day that whippoorwills were calling from the hills. Summer was a coming in, but fast. Lots of daffodils were showing off their skills. Nodding all together, I could almost hear them whisper, go on, kiss him that Sunday. Last summer.
Yeah, that Sunday. That's this Sunday. This is Wolf of Goof and Mama Toof, and that was the great Diana Washington. Boy, and the warmth. Diana was one of my favorite, but still is one of my favorite singers. I know many people, you know, there are many people even prefer her over Billy, but, you know, it's the cream de creme.
Did you ever see her perform?
I actually did. I was went to Birdland. I was able to catch Birdland. They had a section in Birdland called the Milk Bar. So if you're under 18, you can get in. And I went to see Art Blakey and his original Jazz Messengers with Horace Silver. And in the audience, ladies and gentlemen, Pee Wee Marquette was the little announcer. We in the audience, ladies and gentlemen, we have the great Dinah Washington. And they had her get up. And I don't really remember what song she did. I wasn't familiar with the song. But she got up and started singing. And man, she just...
What an incredible set of experiences you've had in your life. Just the musical experiences alone are incredible. Never mind all the rest of it.
I owe it all to insomnia, trust me. I keep saying that.
Peter Wolf is my guest tonight here on Idiot's Delight on WNEW-FM. Dinah Washington and that Sunday. Room Full of Angels, another fine, fine track from Peter's new album. Dylan, Simple Twist of Fate from Blood on the Tracks, and Anything at All from Peter's album. From... an album that... All right, let me get this out of the way before I do commercials.
Okay.
An album that is endangered. It's like an endangered species, this album, because this album is on one of the record labels that people have been reading about lately. The fact that there has been an enormous upheaval amongst about three or four or five labels over the last month or so. Mercury Records is one of those labels that just seems to be almost disappearing. I mean, it's not disappearing, but a lot of people have lost their jobs. And a lot of artists on several of these labels, A&M being another one, may find themselves without their label deal because of this weird, strange situation. How does this affect Peter Wolf at this point?
Well, I'm not sure. You know, it's one gets very nervous. As you say, it's the kind of record that when I made the record, I knew it was going to take a long time to sort of get it out there.
Yeah.
And it was something that I planned on to have a slow build just to make it people aware of it, because it's not the kind of bang over your head record. I hope, you know, I have the opportunity to do it. I got into the music... what I guess it's industry now. It wasn't an industry. We used to call it music biz, or got into music because I love the music, which I still do. And music hopefully will find its way. And my job is to, you know, just kind of transcend and keep going. Mm. And that's what I've tried to do.
So at the moment, your status with Mercury Records remains status quo. Nothing has changed.
Well, it's the kind of record that, you know, as you say, has an endangered mark on it, perhaps. And so,
even in the best of times, even without the shakeups, you know.
But there, you know, it's the kind of thing where many records, you know, do take time to for people to become aware of. Things tend to be more instantaneous, or the desire, the instantaneous gratification. I don't know. I really choose not to really get into the whole thing. I hope it prevails, if people out there like that kind of thing, I mean, they can support it. I hope they do, because I haven't even gotten really out on the highways and byways performing, which is my real great love.
Will you do that?
I hope to. Yeah. I hope to have the opportunity to do that.
Okay. We have to pause here, take care of some commercial business. I've asked Peter Wolf to select a Jay Giles Band song for us, and he is going to do that, and we'll lead into that with something else right after this.
Hi, I'm David Byrne, and I've never hosted anything before except maybe some dinner parties, but this year I'm hosting this season of Sessions at West 54th, serving you the best in contemporary music each and every week.
Join host David Byrne for 26 weeks of stunning up-close performances by the most acclaimed artists of a generation, only on public television. Lou Reed, Elvis Costello, Burt Bacharach, Lucinda Williams, Cowboy Junkies, The Pat Metheny Group, John Hyatt, Kronos Quartet, Natalie Merchant, Nadeski, Martin and Wood, Lyle Lovett, The Lounge Lizards, Liz Phair, Neil Finn, and many more. See why New York Magazine said it may be the best contemporary music show ever. Sessions at West 54. It's critically acclaimed. It's commercial free. It's the way music looks now. Made possible by IBM, BMW, and DirecTV.
This week, John Mellencamp and Randy Newman. Sundays at 11 on 13 and Mondays at midnight on WLIW 21.
There I was, ready to give the first public reading of my new bestseller. But my stuffy head was so full of pressure, I could hardly see the words. Not the time for a groggy medicine head. I took Sudafed.
Sudafed nasal decongestant opens nasal passages and relieves sinus pressure. And non-drowsy Sudafed leaves you with a clear head.
And they all lived happily ever after.
Read it again, Mom.
Sudafed, for a clear head. Not medicine head. Use as directed.
Rich chocolate Ovaltine? Why not Quick?
We used to drink Quick, but then my sister told me how good Ovaltine is. So we tried Rich Chocolate Ovaltine, and my kids loved the taste.
Is it better than Quick?
Definitely. Ovaltine has extra vitamins. Nestle Quick has none. Compare the labels. When it comes to nutrition, Ovaltine beats Quick hands down, and my kids absolutely love the taste.
Wow. For us, no more Quick. It's Rich Chocolate Ovaltine.
I got a great deal with 1-800-SLEEPIES.
I've used 1-800-SLEEPIES for every room in my house.
They've got stores all over the place.
1-800-SLEEPYS.
Sure, I dialed the others, but Sleepy's really knew their stuff, and they were much cheaper.
My new bed is great.
I'm too busy to sit around and wait. 1-800-SLEEPIES delivered at my convenience. That's the kind of service I like.
1-800-SLEEPIES. 1-800-SLEEPIES.
Their service was incredible.
Sleepy's, the guy in the little pajamas?
Their service was incredible.
I was so happy they took my old bed away. I mean, what am I going to do with it?
They've got this great comfort guarantee.
If I don't like it, they'll exchange it. No questions asked.
They sure made it easy for me.
1-800-SLEEPYS.
Aren't they the ones with the incredible price guarantee?
Service, quality, value.
Don't forget the price guarantee.
What more can I ask for?
How can I go wrong with 1-800-SLEEPYS? They've been in business for over 40 years. 1-800-SLEEPYS.
They're the best.
The Sleepy's Guarantee. You can sleep on it.
I've got to ask Peter Wolf this question, because we've got some Jay Giles Band stuff out that we're going to play in just a bit. Jay Giles Band was there right at the very beginning of the whole video revolution. You know, some of the first really interesting creative videos were Jay Giles Band videos. Centerfold. But the one I'm thinking of is, I guess it's Love Stinks. And the question I want to ask you is the drum, right? Where, what was the drummer's name? I forget.
Stephen Joe Blatt.
All right. He's playing that drum throughout that whole thing. And there's this one moment towards the very end when he hits the Skins and the Skins just are milk or something. They just explode. Where did that idea come from? Do you remember?
Well,
it's such a wonderful moment in rock music video history.
You know, immature artists imitate great artists, they say steal. Now, that actually came from an old Ernie Kovacs Niobe trio.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah, and it was lifted from that, and of course it was well forgotten and brought back with the Love Stinks video.
Oh.
And it came from one of those bits where Ernie was, you know, it was three people and the drummer, and he hits them over the head, and bam, he hits the drum, it's milk, and bam, it splashes all over.
And is that in fact what it was?
Yeah.
It was milk?
Yeah, it was milk.
All right. All right, so introduce this now. This is going to get us to the Jay Giles Band, this track.
Well, this track was, we were talking off mic about when Van Morrison would come up to my radio show and I would have the Wolf of Goof of Mama Tufa All Night Caravan. And one of the songs that I discovered that just set my soul on fire. I mean, this was a track that I heard and I just couldn't get enough of it. And Van heard it, and both he and I would just listen over and over, and there's certain records, James Brown at the Apollo Volume 1, that become sort of these holy relics for many people, you know, Exile on Main Street, Highway 61. For us, James Brown, and this next record, which is Gene Chandler's Rainbow 65, and I got the great honor of being part of the Soul Review this summer that played at the Beacon Theater with Benny King and Sam Moore. We had Irma Thomas, and I'm going to forget, so many great people are on it. And it was set up just like the great Soul Reviews I used to see at the Apollo, and I used to go there. And I had never seen Gene Chandler. And
this is Duke of Earl, Gene Chandler.
This is Duke of Earl, Gene Chandler. And I couldn't wait to hear him do this song. This is a song that I must have heard thousands and thousands of times. And he had laryngitis. And when we played in New York, and he came up to me and said, "Pete, you know, I got laryngitis." I said, "Well, Gene, you know, let me go out and tell the people, and you know, we have, you know, 15 people on the act, on the bill. You don't have to." "No, I got to go out." Well, here's a man that couldn't speak, And by the time he got done, he got a standing ovation. And this is, it takes, this is about 6 minutes and then builds into one of the most orgasmic things. And this is just a man working an audience. And it's at the Regal Theater out in Chicago. And he's just doing his thing. And this is the great Duke Earl Gene Chandler.
That time at the Regal. Young man went out and made a name for himself. Has been on every record-breaking show in the Regal Theater in the last 2 years. Ladies and gentlemen, the star of our show, how about a nice warm round of applause to welcome Mr. Gene Chandler.
Thank you so very much.
One more time once. Quickly, middle just getting started.
One of the classic live albums.
Oh, thank
Jake
you.
Isles Band.
Detroit
Full House.
City. Yeah. Detroit City.
Recorded
in Detroit.
In Detroit, like 72.
Really?
Mm. You guys used to play the Fillmore here in town.
Yeah, actually,
right? You were real close to Bill Graham, right?
I was. I really miss Bill Graham. I had the honor of doing the audio tape of Bill Graham's autobiography.
Oh,
and,
wow.
He was great. He was crazy, but he was great. And the shows he put on and just the different artists he put on and putting on Muddy Waters next to Janis Joplin and just, you know, so he was very unique. And at the time, it was real eclectic. It was fantastic. And he really knew how to, he was really cared about the audiences. He cared about the musicians. But we first came down from Boston sight unseen. Bill booked us. He heard about us. John Landau was a friend, and he spoke with John and different people and said, yeah, that Giles band is cutting it up in New England. So he brought us down, and we came on the bill was Sir Lord Baltimore opened up.
Oh,
we were in
God.
The middle spot, and headlining was Black Sabbath, who were really big at the time. And we came in, and thank you, Mr. Graham. Oh, call me Bill. I said, thank you, Bill. You know, I said, you're a Bronx boy. Yeah, we talked, chatted, and just before we were about to go on, people were screaming, Black Sabbath, Black Sabbath. Everybody was getting real rowdy. So Bill walked out and gave this speech. He said, listen, you know, I want to see this band. I never see this band. I heard a lot about this band, and I'm embarrassed the way New York is treating this band. He said, you know, you haven't even heard of this band, and I want to, people who won't shut up, I'll give you a stub, you get out, please be quiet, and you can come back in, but I want to see this band, I want to see it uninterrupted.
Yeah, yeah.
And we came out, and we did our thing, and about four or five encores later, Black Sabbath had a hard time.
Wow.